welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa New, to papanew.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Ms. Mikel of voodoofoundry.com in Willits, California, bringing us today's topic on old-time spells you can use today. Afterwards, we'll take your calls and offer advice to address, your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Hey, you win a prize for that one. Both Ms. Mikel and Nagashiva and I collect new words in search of meanings, and we like the word remeliorate. It's a good one. We're good.
That is a new one to right now.
that's good. Well, thank you very much for that introduction and for adding to our knowledge base, whatever that is.
Yes.
Remeliorate. Oh, it just sounds great. It's just, I like it. So here we are again, one more week in a long string of weeks stretching back more than a decade. Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Show is long-running, always on time, just barely, and we aim to bring you both the best of the past, the best of the present, and a glimpse into the future, and a little glimpse around the world now and then. So we have sometimes gone into other cultures. We have sometimes gone into devising new things, but this week we're going to be looking back at old-time spells with Ms. Mikel. But before we bring her on, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on at the shop. We just sent out our October newsletter. And in that newsletter, there's some really cool articles. If you got it in email, your copy may say September newsletter. That was a mistake. Open it up anyway. It's the October newsletter. If you find it online, if you, for instance, go to the Lucky Mojo Curio Company Facebook page or to my Facebook page, you can link to it, and it actually does say October. In that newsletter, of course, there are discount coupons and there are free spell links and all the good things you always expect from us, but there's some interesting articles, three of them to be exact. One of them is an article on a new radio show that's coming up on our network, the LMC Radio Network, which is a very wide-branched a group of independent radio shows banded together and sponsored financially by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. You buy a few products and you'll help sponsor those shows because that's what we do. And the new show is a really interesting magical lifestyle show, I guess you could call it. It's called Fit and Foxy, and it is starring Madame Nadia, whom many of you know because she has often taken my place here as a co-host on this show when I've been out of town. And those of you who don't know Madame Nadia, well, just check her out. She's a wonderful lady. She's on Facebook. She's on air. She's on Hoodoo Psychics. She has her own website. And she is a great card reader, both Lenormand and Tarot cards. And her specialty, glamour magic and love magic of all types, but particularly glamour. She has done workshops on putting makeup, dosing your makeup with hoodoo products and other things like that. Really cool stuff. She knows a lot of tricks. Wonderful woman. Then the other star of the show is Susan Barnes. She's also been a guest here at many times. And Susan is a lovely woman who comes out of the New Thought movement. and spiritualism. She has done a lot of work with the paranormal, with depossessions for people, getting people who are possessed with an unwanted spirit to be depossessed. And she is an author of a number of books, including some juvenile fiction, young adult fiction, and she's also written books on self-help and magic. Wonderful gal. And she's going to be on the show. And then the third party, a little less well-known because he's a little newer in our community, Jaye Danya. And he is a Nigerian-born, and he is a bodybuilder, and he belongs to the IFBB. And he is, I'm going to quote Kandelo Kimbisa, he's cut as hell. He's cut as hell. Well, he is. Candelo has a word for everything. But Jaye is a great guy. He's a graduate of my hoodoo course. And he is also a personal physical fitness trainer, and he reads cards. And if you all have listened to Candelo's show, Madam Nadia, Jaye, Susan, they've all been guests on Candelo's show recently. So that's one of the articles in the newsletter. And you can read more about them and see their pictures, and you can judge for yourself if he is cut as hell, because his picture's right there in the newsletter. Can I get a witness? And
yeah.
And then the second article was written by our newsletter editor, Rowan, and Rowan Rivers, and it's a wonderful article on Jay setting. The whole culture and community of black, gay, J-set battles and dances. And you just got to read the article. If you never heard of J-setting, you're not a student in my course, because I do, for all of my course students, I do post in the African-American video of the day section of the course. There are quite a few videos on J-setting. And Miss Michael, you know who I'm talking about, people like the Prancing Elites.
The Prancing Elites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just one of many, many J-setting teams. And so Rowan wrote an article about J-setting and its place in black society. Very interesting article. And then there's another article on Black Hawk. And people talk and talk and talk and talk about Black Hawk and Black Hawk and on their altar and Black Hawk in a bucket. But he wrote a very good article giving you a lot of resources on Black Hawk, on the history of Black Hawk, and where you can learn more. So those are there, along with some free spells, magnolia leaves and stay with me spells. And so check out that newsletter. If you don't get the newsletter by subscription, you can always drop on by the Lucky Mojo Facebook page and check it out. But we do want to tie you all in with the fact that you can get discount coupons if you hook up with that newsletter. Okay, that's my story for the day. That's what's happening around here. New newsletter once a month. We put a lot of effort into that one, but this particular month, it came out real super special, so I had to give it a special extra send-off. Now, I'm going to say hello to Countryman Ollie. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing lovely. I know that the new show is going to be just fantastic, because I am familiar with Madam Nadia, Susan, and all these wonderful people. And I'm getting to know Jaye, and I think it's going to be really interesting, and I can't wait to tune in on Wednesday. So that's really exciting news. I love that the network keeps adding shows and adds really fascinating perspectives. I would have never thought of a show like this. I really wouldn't have. Because it's not, you know, what I normally think of. So seeing the diversity of the shows, seeing the different interesting perspectives, makes the network so fascinating, really, and interesting. So I'm very much looking forward to it coming up Wednesday.
Yeah, and we got to give a little shout-out also to Professor Charles Porterfield. He is the general manager of the network. Everybody thinks it's me. It ain't. I'm not it. It's Professor Porterfield. He interviews the people who propose to do radio shows. He sets them up. He gives them a lesson in how to run the board. He does all of that stuff. And then Nagashiva also helps with the tech. He's the chief engineer. So Professor Porterfield worked very hard pulling these things together. So all good praise to him. Now, this show, Fit and Foxy, is really going to be a what we call a magical lifestyle show. And I'm going to say something here. There are so many people in the magical community who are out of shape physically. And I don't mean to be shaming anybody. There are many reasons for this, including the diet that we live and eat that's available to us in the form of fast food and prepared processed food, and also the rise of the internet, which has given rise to a more sedentary lifestyle, and people just sort of sitting around. So, however, what Fit and Foxy is about is not just glamour, but it's also about getting yourself in shape. You only have one body to get you through this life. Take good care of it. As has been said, a master is a master of his own self as well as or herself, as the case may be, and not just a master of knowledge. An adept is an adept on all levels, not just on the spiritual plane. So what we're going to see in this show is going to be some practical material on how to get yourself into shape and also how to use magic to get yourself into shape. In other words, it's not the two things in opposition to each other, but it really truly is what they call body, mind, spirit. But this one's going to focus a lot on body and about how to have the body you want, how to have the health you want, and how to use magic to get there. Okay, so wonderful, wonderful idea for a show, something completely new, and as a going to be, I'm looking forward to it greatly. All right, well, and Papa Newt posted something very funny in the chat room. There are magical things you can do while working out, such as if a gym has a TV in front of the elliptical machine, practice scrying. I don't know whether he meant with the TV on or just staring at the glass there, but you could certainly scry into that glass. What a cool idea, Papa Newt. Wow, he's a trip. Okay, so let's say hello to Miss Michael. Howdy, Miss Michael.
Hello there. It's good to be back.
It's wonderful to have you, as always, our favorite kitten. Yeah, well, she's a, for those who don't know her, Miss Michael comes across as this really, you know, serious social justice worker, but her spirit animal is a kitten. A kitten in the knitting, I call you.
Yeah, but I actually know what to do with the yarn. So, yeah, we had something really interesting happen in Willits today.
Mm-hmm.
Water fell from the sky.
Oh,
water fell from the sky. I know, my God. Water fell from the sky.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, if water fell from the sky over here, too, it was like a miracle.
Yeah.
All y'all don't know it. We're all here in California, and we've been having a 5-year drought, and it has not rained in a long, long time. It didn't rain long. It was just a light sprinkle, but, oh, my gosh, it was a relief to see it come down. Yeah,
it was. It was. And That's the whole weather news. I've been doing a lot of my usual stuff, playing with the yarn. And a couple of years ago, my son bought me a sweater's worth of yarn that I haven't touched because I didn't have a pattern and didn't know how to make it fit. And so I was reading around about how to figure this thing out and found out there are several people, bunches of people, who make a living by telling people, you don't need a pattern. Just pick up your yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I made a sweater without a pattern. So I finally got that figured out. So I got a sweater started, and I got a blanket started. So two great big projects. And,
you know, Miss Michael, yeah. I gotta break in here and just say something. When I was a younger woman, I used to teach arts and crafts, to hippies mm-hmm. who weren't as crafty and arty as me. And my favorite course, my most popular course, when I was most often invited to teach to adults, was how to make clothes without a pattern.
Uh-huh.
And people didn't understand.
That's the thing I need to
that.
Know next. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you in 25 words or less, get a bunch of newspapers, tape them together, lie on them, and have someone draw your outline, and you just work from there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I'm
a
funny shape.
You got to take your thickness into account. I mean, it's just, it's clothing without a pattern. It's very simple. Anyway.
Yes.
But we ought to get to what the panel discussion is. And in the chat room, good old Nagashiva is reminding us today's discussion panel will be old time spells that you can use today. You mean we're not having a knitting and sewing show? Oh, dang. Maybe that's the next one on the
network. Magical knitting is another night.
Yeah. So, okay. As usual, I'm going to introduce the subject because, you know, this is what I do. So, old-time spells that you can use today. This kind of comes out of some discussions we've been having within the last few weeks and months about how newcomers to root work, but not just newcomers to root work, newcomers to ceremonial magic, newcomers to general European magic, newcomers to what I call occult shop magic, which is kind of generic magic, tend to gravitate toward candles. I'll light a candle for that. The candle will work. And somehow it's sometimes a hard sell. And in fact, knowing that this show was coming up, I just had this happen yesterday. A couple of ladies in the shop, they wanted to talk about this and that and the other. And I said, you know, what would be perfect for you would be some sachet powder, and you're going to sprinkle it here, there, and this is what you're going to do. And they said, yeah, but what candle do we use? And I'm like, no, you didn't hear me. I said, what would be perfect for your situation would be sachet powder mixed with dirt where this person's going to step in it. And they're like, yeah, but what candle? I'm like, no candle, no candle. And I thought, man, this show could not come at a better time. Now, we're not going to be anti-candle here. Candles are very much old time. But the thing about old time spells that people forget, some people call it kitchen magic, grocery store magic, and farm magic, farmyard magic. These are spells that make use of things that almost all of us have around us one way or another. Some of them are more rural, and some of them can be urban, because even urban people have been living that way for hundreds of years, and there is a kind of magic like that. For instance, the use of red brick dust. Not that rural. Mm-hmm. It's more urban. And if you look at what's rural, well, if I say you need to get some chicken shit to do this spell, you're going to have a hard time if you live in a city. And maybe nowadays if you had some friend who raised chickens. But, you know, in the day, there weren't a lot of chickens in the cities. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Miss Michael, and you tell us what you find valuable about old time. And as Countryman Ollie said in the chat room, old time doesn't necessarily mean rural. That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right.
That's right.
So let's turn it over to Miss Michael. You tell us what you think.
Well, one of the things I like best, I dipped into Hyatt for this, you know, and Hyatt is an Olympic swimming pool of knowledge, but or possibly a large lake of knowledge, a Lake Michigan of knowledge, if you will. But very few of those spells have candles in them, because when he went out on his first trip, his first research trip, candles were just getting to be widespread in hoodoo, in African American folk magic, and that was coming in through the Catholic influence in like New Orleans and Philadelphia. I think it was it Philadelphia or Boston?
Yeah, Philadelphia, Baltimore
Catholic.
Also.
Hoodoo,
Baltimore,
center on the East Coast. But that was new. That was new. Before that, it was, well, you stir the sugar bowl counterclockwise if you want to fix somebody, and you pray. Or stir it clockwise to get him to like you. Stuff as simple as that. So much of the old time magic is simple and can be done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly all of it, as I look back on the things that struck my eye, is enacted, like that spell in the book of Ezekiel. Now, there's old-time magic for you. It's more of a prophecy as we have it today than a magical spell, but it is about the destruction of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And as I remember it, he laid on his side, you know, like immobilized, one
mm-hmm.
you know, for so many days, months, to symbolize the destruction of the kingdom of Israel, and another different number of days on the other side, immobile, to symbolize the destruction of the kingdom of Judah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was most of it right there. And
in other words,
had to
things that
yeah.
people don't think of as a spell.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think of that as a magic spell, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way it was handed down, though, is not as a spell, but as a prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is another subject for another day, the censorship of magic. Another thing that I found some surprises when I was looking into Hyatt. One, there's a lot of spells about capturing sexual fluids to get somebody to be faithful to you, or to control
mm-hmm.
their sexuality, or to get them to be obsessed with you. And a very simple way to do it that... This is one of the informants whose names have not been discovered. The informant number is 3137. And this person told Hyatt, you can fix a lover to stay with you and be unable to have sex with anyone else just by taking some of their sexual fluids and putting it into either a whiskey bottle or a perfume bottle, and it goes under their doorstep. So they keep coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, you know, this is something that I didn't expect. He goes on to say in the next breath that if you discover this has been done to your husband, you can do the same spell and get his nature back again, functional again.
Wow. So, if I understand this right, so the lady who wants the married man, she hides this under her doorstep.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? And then the married woman wants the husband back. She puts it under her doorstep.
She can do the same spell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all the detail I get. I don't know if the husband is still going to have two women on, you know, to play with now. or if the rightful partner cancels out and overcomes the work of the other. I mean, you know, overcomes that work. But, does she shut it down while opening her own self up?
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff, I love these old sorts of spells that are very, very simple to do. You know, the dog hair and cat hair, put them in a bottle with vinegar, make people fight. There's nothing to it. It's just what it is. Make them fight like dogs and cats, or put dog hair and cat hair in an egg to make people break up and fight. One of my favorites that I was taught was I thought of her as older then. I suppose she was just in her late middle ages now, I think of it. But she wasn't as old as I am now. And she had a husband. He had a job. And every morning she got up and she made him breakfast with coffee. And she had dressed the sugar for him with various things in it. And underneath the sugar jar, she'd put their names together. And then she'd put a piece of white adhesive tape holding that names underneath. And he believed, she said, that the sugar jar had cracked. But, you know, too poor, buy another sugar bowl. And so there, this little piece of adhesive tape just covered where it was cracked. But actually what was underneath the adhesive tape was her prayer. And just a little prayer. And she said to me that the most revealing thing about it, she goes, he sweetens his own coffee. In other words,
yes.
She didn't need to be doing nothing. She just made the sugar right, and then he sweetens his own coffee. That's good old-fashioned work.
I had a client that I advised to send the man she wanted coffee beans to grind, and I told her, take a love bath. Sprinkle those, put those beans on a cookie sheet, sprinkle them with the bath water, let them dry, and pack them up and send them to him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that, yeah, so that he would grind and brew and fix the coffee however he liked. But she had fixed it for him. Yeah.
Wow. So send a bag. This is great. Send a bag of whole coffee beans that you have prepared. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they will grind and brew their own coffee. How about you,
Ali? A lot of grocery stores have.
Yeah, Ali, do you have any of these favorite old-fashioned spells?
Oh, I have so many. I think you brought up a really fascinating point when you said some people don't think of these as spells. And I think another kind of characteristic, you could kind of reverse this in some ways. The reason they don't is because it doesn't seem elaborate or ritualistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, in many ways, take that and recognize what is old-timey and what isn't. Old-timey spells generally are accessible. They're pretty easy to do. They're done with things that are readily available. You don't often see a requirement to go out and get a lot of things. For example, two of my favorite kind of pickup workings, as you mentioned, is the egg one. One is blowing an egg, stuffing it with poppy seeds and black peppers and salt, and then throwing it over the house. Another one is to place a couple of poppy seeds under someone's carpet. Like you're supposed to place it under the carpet. And some people, you know, depending on what type of house, it's supposed to be under the floorboard. And that would make them fight and fuss and constantly not know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would even call it confused in the mind. But it was simple, you know, a few poppy seeds. A lot of people don't think that way or don't think that's efficient. There's this idea of I need to go for the strongest, as if what you're doing is not the strongest, right? As if poppy seeds is not the strongest or making the sugar right isn't the strongest. There's always like, I mean, I'm sure both of you have had this when your clients come up. Well, my boyfriend is too strong-headed. I need the strongest spell possible. Well, here's the sugar. No, that's not possibly going to work. I need the strongest thing you've got to go. And so there's almost this idea that old-timey spells aren't strong enough and nothing could be further from the
truth. I think I know why. It's because because the supposed ritual framework, the phase shift, the recognizable shift in consciousness is lacking or is at least not obvious.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not doing – this goes along with the idea of you need the precious fluids. You need the special yak bone that someone had to climb the Himalayas to bring back to you. You need that rare, rare something. The precious fluids theory of magic, which has you know, kind of dominated magic really forever. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes called cultural exoticism or exotic deviance, looking for something that will take you out of your normal path in order to solve a problem. It doesn't seem to be as, quote, powerful because it's not as difficult. But that's not true. If you think about it, what is the most pressing problem that besets everybody? To get enough liquid to drink and enough food to eat. After that comes warmth, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we think of these things that we do all the time. We get something to drink, we get something to eat. Well, if that is what most of what we're doing is focused on, and we can simply alter the person's drink or food, we've actually gotten them at a very basic level of their lives, much more so than getting them to catch a feather that falls from a tree, that blah, blah, that a raven, that such and such. You know what I'm saying? They're going to need to drink, and they're going to need to eat. They're going to need to walk. They're going to need shelter. They need to kind of come in their door and go out their door. These are the basic things. And so those types of works seize upon and catapult those basic needs into magic spells. So you can look at them as quote, less strong if you don't understand how basic those needs are, and you can look at them as more strong because they're more interwoven into the fabric of somebody. If you're feeding them oh, let's say your sexual fluids in their food every night, they're never going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If
right,
you cook for them
right.
every night and you put your stuff in their food, that's basic. You've got them. And, yeah, that's what I see as something that is overlooked because people don't understand that magic really is a part of life, you know.
Oh, yeah, so true. I mean, on the last show, I mentioned with Candela, one of my favorite kind of old-timey love spells, and that was needles, right? Two needles that are put side by side and tied together. Along those lines, you find other examples of that. To return a lover, you get in their old socks, something that they've worn, and you roll it towards you as you call out their name. That brings that person back. To keep a person, you take their underwear, put it in a knot, bury it in the backyard, and it works. It's old-timey. Grandmothers swear by it, women swear by it. It's powerful, powerful work, and it's simple. It's not overly complicated. It's easily done, but you have something really tangible there. That's their underwear. That's something that they have worn. There's a connection there. That's way better than in my opinion, a dozen candles with just their name written on it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the chat room, I want to give a little shout-out here. We've got a lot of chat people, and I wanted to call out to Bobo William, said not magic, and in fact, Ali had just said that, tying socks together in a knot or tying a knot together. And I also want to say something here that that Shiva wrote, our tech guy, post as Lucky Mojo Curio Company. He said, challenge is supposed to yield greater result. This is a very popular idea about magic. It is thought to be only a mental thing. Some occultists think this requires emotional turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I call the role-playing game version, the D&D version, the movie version, where you've got to get into this really emotionally worked-up state, right? And then you thrust your hand and talk, something happens, you know. But, yes, you can do that. And certainly prayer will empower you. But you don't need to take yourself to another reality to do the kinds of empowerment that most people should be doing if they're living a good life already. In other words, to get your child safely to school, you don't need to, you know, I call on all the powers of heaven and earth. May hell reel under my blows if anything happens to my child on the way to school. You don't do that every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
right,
brush
well, I mean,
the child's hair, and you smooth the child's hair, and you put a little oil on the child's hair, and you say, guardian angels, watch my child. Because if you're in tune with the flow of the universe, not every magic spell has to be some drama that you stand on a mountaintop like Night on Bald Mountain shaking things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
once you get accustomed to having the spirits in contact with you, all you have to do is get them to look your way.
Mm-hmm.
And word
That's
prayer
right.
as you're brushing the child's hair or stirring the pot or dusting your altar or pouring a cup of coffee will do that. You know, you pour yourself a cup of coffee and you look toward your altar where the dead are and you say, does anybody want a taste of this coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's all an offering needs to be. It's more fun, you know, to actually put shiny plates on the altar. But sometimes just invite them to share your coffee.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Naga Shiva did the promos for the show, and he put up some great pictures. So I'd like to, have a few minutes remaining, and I'd like to talk about these pictures. There are different pictures on each page where he publicized the show. So one of the pictures is of a cored apple. It shows an apple core, an apple that's been cored. And that's how you would usually bake an apple. But we know through our work in hoodoo that a cored apple can be used for a number of things, one of which is to make a couple love one another, stay with one another. And you can do it for yourself as a pair, one of the people in the couple, or you can do it, as an aunt or a mother-in-law or a kindly friend for a couple who are having a little bit of a problem. And you can core an apple, put their names in it, put sugar or honey in it, and bury it in a potted plant. You can even plant a plant on top of it and give it to them to put in their home. They will never know that this apple of love is at the bottom of the pot, and they're going to water that plant. And as it grows, its roots will reach down into the cord apple and spread joy throughout their home. It's a very nice old-fashioned spell. Another one he put up was some bars of soap. And there are many ways to work with soap, including starting with making your own soap. If you want to make your own soap, I recommend you get involved with Papa G, Gregory, member of AIR, and Gregory White is his name. And he has books on soap making, and he does make soap. And you can make soap yourself. But if you can't make soap yourself, you can also work with soap. And there are many ways to work with dressing soap with a little bit of oil. And no one will be the wiser. And they will wash themselves, and they will be putting on them whatever it is you want them to put on. And another thing he put a picture of is what looks like some sort of a pasta dish. So I'm going to turn that one over to you, Miss Michael. Tell us about the veritable tomato sauce.
The lasagna or the spaghetti or the ziti with the red sauce. And you know what else is red? Is menstrual blood. And so this is why a lot of hoodoo savvy men will not eat red sauce foods cooked by a woman. Because, you know, she's probably trying to fix me with her stuff. Okay. I remember from the Lucky Mojo forum, somebody obsessed with this woman and saying, I've got to fix this woman. I've got to get her to love me and follow me like a dog because I can't get her out of her mind. Oh, she brought over some lasagna about a month ago.
Right.
And
right.
I was so mad. But they got together and now they're happy. So, okay. Yeah. It's underhand, but that may not be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes we got it good in secret.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can do this, and I was told by one woman, you don't have to make it in tomato sauce. Sure, that'll conceal this and that and the other. She said, just get a little blood on your panties, and just strain your tomatoes through your panties, and you're like pantyhose, you know.
Yeah.
I've also been told women will make what's called panty soup, or you just take your panties or panty stew, and you just when you're cooking, you just cook with the panties, and you take them out when you serve. That's a very easy way to go.
Oh,
Dawn, there's our music. There's our music, and we've got to go. So we're going to go to our caller, and we're going to have Papa Newt bring our caller on.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8255. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller, and our first caller is calling from international code of 60 in Malaysia. This is Sima. I'm so sorry. And how do you pronounce your name? I want to make sure I say it correctly.
Hi, it's actually Simu, S-I-M-U.
Simu. Oh, thank you so much. And welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling, and good morning to you. I see it's very
yes,
early
I'm really calling. Excited. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And so I do see that you have not gone, you haven't had any readings with Mrs. Kat or Contraman Ali, or have gone to any other readers or root workers on this situation. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you so much. And she writes, I have currently came back to my spiritual path after a hiatus of 6 years. I have since then had a toxic friendship with someone I have befriended at the start of my spiritual journey, and hence would like some general guidance on what my presence requires me to do or anything I need to pay attention to. Turning back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, Simo, you're calling from Malaysia, but I do have a question because you seem to have a kind of a pretty Americanish accent. Where are you from originally?
I am Malaysian, but my parents, we have traveled a bit, and I went to an international school, so I grew up speaking English.
Well, you speak English just like someone who was born here. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting. Okay. All right. So this is a general question about having had some, what our late friend Eddie Gutierrez, Dr. E, used to call some spiritual byways. You went down a spiritual path, and it led to something that wasn't exactly right, and then another, and now you need to get your head straight. You're still a spiritual person, but you had, like you said, a toxic friendship, not so good, and might have been taken advantage of a little bit is what I'm interpreting in this. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
A Scorpio. And do you know what your Asian zodiac animal is?
I was born in the year of the rat, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right, a Scorpio and a rat. Okay, let those who know astrology get that. I get the Scorpio thing, I'll tell you that. And about how old are you?
I am turning 20 years old in about 23 days.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I have three cards I laid out here for you. And I wish I could keep going because I looked at what the fourth card is, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is a very interesting layout. But I'm only going to do three. And the first card is the Three of Swords. It's a very sad card, probably the saddest card in my deck. It shows a beautiful red heart, like a Valentine heart, stabbed through with three swords. And it is in the sky under rain clouds, very gray clouds. And this signifies some sadness that has come really through no fault of your own. You have been hurt and you have been ill-treated. And what was done to you may have been done by more than one person or on more than one occasion, or, and which often is the case, it may have affected more than one portion of your life, such as your mental equilibrium, your social status, your health, whatever it may be, and sometimes legal. It's like it's a multiple attack is what it shows here. So what I see is that this is the card of the past, and it is sad, and you really do have to acknowledge that something has happened here that was, in a way, a setback, a tragedy, something harsh. The second card could not be better. The second card is the card of the present. And this card of the present is called the Ace of Cups. So this is one of the happiest and nicest cards in the entire deck. It shows a hand coming out of a cloud. It's the hand of God holding a golden goblet or chalice. And a dove is flying down into the chalice. Water is coming up out of the cup like a fountain, pouring around the hand and down into a beautiful pool that is covered with water lilies or lotus flowers, which resemble, they're little pink flowers with these green leaves. And they symbolize peace, tranquility, and also rising above the mud of circumstances, because the lotus blooms at the surface of the water but comes up out of the mud. So this is a card that shows that you can turn the things that were difficult for you to your betterment, but it also shows that God favors you at this time, and blessings are being poured upon you. So some of what you learned, some of what happened, is going to be turned to the better. And there really is a spiritual path for you, because this, the dove of the Holy Spirit does represent a truly a blessing from heaven. It's a very good card. The next card is called the Knight of Cups. So we have two Cups cards next to each other. The Knight of Cups is a person on a journey, and he is holding a golden goblet. He's on a horse. The horse is walking forward. He has been through a dry desert, and he has come to a little creek or stream of water where he can water his horse, put more water in his cup. The cup represents the heart, and it's like he doesn't want to be dried up. He has even a little tunic on over his armor that has fishes embroidered on it. So he is a person of spirituality and water. Now, you are a Scorpio, which is a water sign. So we have two cards here of water. And what we know about this Knight of Cups is that he does not give up. Even though things have been difficult, this is the card of the future. And you will not get to your spiritual goal immediately. It's going to take a little while. But as he wanders down the stream, he passes many small trees, and they represent people that you'll meet along the way, new ideas, companions, perhaps even love. And eventually he will make it around into the valley and around up to the top of the cliff that is in front of him. And on top of that cliff are some oak trees, which represent stability. So it'll take you a little while, but you're now on the right path. The sadness, the things that happened, the friendship that went bad or was bad to begin with is over. Receive your blessings and now seek out people who are perhaps of lesser importance in your life, but who will be companions, friends, who have similar goals and ideals. And you are very blessed because you have not lost your heart. You still carry your heart. But the man, the cup is a heart. The man carries his cup, and you carry your heart ahead of you. You have a ways to go, but I would say, looking at these cards, the thing that you might want to do is to stay away from people with poison tongues. The swords can also represent bad words. And to use your discretion and judgment, and work with liquids, work with bathing, work with tea, and anything and prayer that is of a soft sort, meditation even, because of the lotus flowers. All right, that's my reading. I'm going to turn you over to Miss Michael and see what she sees.
Okay,
thank you.
I come to the same conclusion, Simu, by a different route. Okay. And
okay.
The cards chose themselves in an unusual way. As I was shuffling, they each fell out of the deck. Those are the pygmy cards. The first is the Five of Wands. Not only toxic friendships, as Miss Kat saw in the Three of Swords, heartbreak, repeated assault, but I see you being ganged up on here because there's a whole crowd of people in this version of the card fighting outside a walled castle. But I still see some signs of hope in this card. There is the rooster giving warning. There is the sun in the sky. So even though you were under attack, you were aware of it. You took steps. You did defend yourself. The Page of Coins is the next card, Page of Pentacles. And this is the student. This is reflection and meditation, and it looks like you've already started that. Like Miss Kat said, learning and drawing true lessons out of your bad experience. It is possible to learn false lessons from bad times, and you know as you adapt to them. And when good times come, you don't know what to do about it. You don't know how to take advantage of your new good luck. This is going to take a different skill set. You got to build that. You've already started that. You're smart enough, wise enough to do it, to accomplish this. And the end result is the last card, the Hierophant, the spiritual leader. You may never have a title. I don't know. that would take a longer reading. You may never have a title, but you will earn and receive respect as well as friendship and mastery of your craft. That's what I see.
Wow.
Oh, thank
very,
you.
Very, very good cards, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he's going to give you some practical magical root work advice.
Yeah,
okay.
I think you had some fantastic readings. What I'm going to do is give you some recommendations based off of those readings. Bathing, as Miss Cat mentioned, as I was actually thinking of a bath, she mentioned bathing would be good for you, that hoodoo psychic that is Miss Cat. So she's right, absolutely. I think a bath is ideal for you. You can make one by brewing star anise, bay leaves, and master root into a tea. Add a couple drops of Florida water into that tea. It's a particularly a good water or cologne. It's used for psychic things. You see it quite common in Afro-Caribbean. That's a sort of cleanser of some sort. But a lot of the practitioners in hoodoo that I know use it for psychic development and spirits. Add a couple drops of that and bathe yourself in it too. You wash yourself in the tea, let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water, and dispose of it at a river. You may repeat this bath as often as you feel you have to. It's both a good cleansing bath, but as well as developing your spiritual strength, your spiritual fortitude, and opening up any kind of latent talent that you may have. It's a great bath to start with. When it comes to starting off on your spiritual path once more. The thing that I saw quite strongly is rebuilding connections and some form of regimen. When people talk about spiritual path, for me, a spiritual path is a lifestyle. It's not just, you know, casting spells or doing some magic here or there. It's living a particular lifestyle. And so now for some that's very strict. Like I have a particularly strict spiritual regimen that involves fastings and meditations and things that I do daily and weekly and monthly. For others it's not as intense, but it should involve some form of discipline. So, for example, I would highly recommend that if you do not already have one, set up a space for your ancestors and work with them. Call them into your life, offer them water, offer them offerings, light them candles, meditate and pray, and accept their spiritual blessings in your life. I highly recommend that you keep a bowl of Althea on your altar with your ancestors. Althea is going to be a really strong and powerful herb ally for you. Work with it as often as you can. You can brew that also into the tea and bathe yourself with it, or wash your altar with it. But keep a bowl of that on your ancestor altar. The other thing that I see here is keeping a dream journal. Keeping a dream journal of sorts is going to be very important for you. It'll help to bring insights into your life. It'll help to rebuild some of the spiritual connections that you will need. And it will really open up your inner latent psychic abilities. Those are the kind of three things that I see for you. It's a kind of a constellation of workings that you can do regularly. The bath can be kind of a touch-up maintenance thing, doing regular altar work with the ancestors and keeping a dream journal is all going to be the key to really walking down the spiritual path that is right for you. That's my recommendation. I'm going to see if Kat and Ms. Michael have anything further to add to this.
Well, I don't much because I think you really kind of nailed it right there. Keeping in mind that the client is a Scorpio, I think anything that uses alcohol-based perfumes is good, and water, you know, baths is good. Those are the kind of things that Scorpios work well with. The colors blue and gold and a sort of a silver show up in these cards. How about you, Michael? What do you see?
Well, I'm thinking of a sort of a fortifier and reward for when you feel outclassed or like you'll never attain the power that you need to have to carry out your spiritual path, the power of the wisdom. A sweet and simple self-confidence spell. There's a verse in the Song of Solomon, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no fault in thee." Adapt that verse so that it says, "I am all fair, there is no fault in me," and eat or drink something sweet while you're doing it. Let it be something kind of luxurious, at least a milkshake, for instance, or a cup of really nice coffee or juice or creamy milk and a pastry or something. And I have that spell on my blog. I'm pasting it into the chat room right now.
You can also, as a really good fortifier, is use that Florida water as a scent or a hand wash. Throw in a bay leaf in there. Put in master root in there. Put in star anise, just like the bath. But instead, you're not brewing it in the tea. You put it directly into the Florida water, and then you wash your hands in the cologne or the alcohol. It's really great whenever you feel kind of a little icky or you need a little bit of a boost or you just want to fortify yourself. You can wear it as a scent if you prefer. Florida water has a nice cool scent. It's subtle. It's not overly strong. Whereas Hoyt's cologne is a little kind of old-timey, old man smell. It smells great, don't get me wrong. But Florida water is a little bit more subtle and floral. But you can use it either as a scent or hand wash. You can just dab a little bit of that on your hands and flick your hands out as if you're getting rid of any excess. And it's a great fortifier. And you can refresh it. You can just add more Florida water and more herbs as you go.
Wow, that's great. And the link has been posted, thank you, Papa Newt, to Miss Michael's blog. To the Song of Solomon 4:7 and how to use that for self-confidence and how to build yourself up. Very, very interesting way of working, and I love that. Miss Michael is the co-author of Hoodoo Bible Magic and with Charles Porterfield, and there are so many things that didn't make it into that book and many, 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 many things that did. Every time I open that book, I find something I overlooked. Hoodoo Bible Magic is really an amazing resource, and I recommend it highly. Thank you, Miss Michael, for even bringing it to that level, because that's a thing that people don't really think about, how you can use these passages of Scripture to warm your own heart and strengthen your own self. I have a real feeling that Simu has a fate ahead of her in the spiritual realm that is, because of that card, the Hierophant that you got and the Knight of Cups that I got, she is destined to some sort of spirituality work that will place her in a position where she'll be recognized by others. So I just wanted to make sure that, Simo, that you hear us saying that. It's not just about finding peace for yourself, but you have some socio-political, religious, spiritual role that is awaiting you, and we believe you will fulfill it. God bless you. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and we're going to go to our second reading. And here comes Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next call. client. Our next client has been on the show before in 2015. This is Priestess Divine calling from area code 336 in North Carolina. Priestess Divine, are you there?
I'm fine. How are you popping in?
Doing well. Welcome to the show. Now,
Thank you.
Since the last time. Oh, you're welcome, hon. I see the last time you called, that situation has resolved itself and gotten much better. Is that correct?
Well, yes, kind of. I was working, but I got laid off back in June, so.
Certainly. All right. Now, do you see that you've had a reading with Ms. Cat, but no other readers and root workers? Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
All right, and Priestess Divine writes, I've had some tough times with my business and in my career as an accountant for many years. Miss Cat always says I would have my blessings by now, but I have never asked why I have not. Why have I not gotten my blessings? Am I on the wrong path for which God has chosen? Turning back to you, Miss Cat.
Wow. Well, all right. Hello. And nice to talk to you again. Hi. I have wondered this myself. I have. I just have to explain here. I know this client, and I have a very strong feeling that there are blessings, but yet there are these blockages, and I don't know what it is, and I think you have nailed something here in the question, am I on the wrong path? I'm not sure that the career, a person who calls themselves Priestess Divine and is in a career as an accountant is a person who may be riding two horses at once. But I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali and Michael to do the reading, since I've read for you before, and I will give you some root work advice based on their readings. But I'm just going to tell both of you that this lady is a fine woman, a very beautiful lady, and that's all I'm going to say, and I'll turn this over to Conjurman Ali.
Thank you. What was your sign of the zodiac?
I'm sorry?
What was your sign of the zodiac?
Taurus.
Taurus. Okay, interesting. Tauruses don't make bad accountants. That type of work can be actually quite pleasant for some Tauruses. They're not the most mathematically inclined, but the kind of steady job that's reliable and detail oriented is actually quite. Can be quite good for a Taurus. And Taurus is also, as one myself, is which one of the traditional signs that's considered blessed. This isn't often talked about in modern astrology. It's kind of fallen out of favor because you don't want to tell people, oh, you're born under a cursed sign or a cursed star. But traditionally, certain astrological signs had natural difficulties, what were called cursed signs. While other signs were considered somewhat blessed, and usually this was tied to the benefics and the malefics. For example, Aquarius is sometimes considered by some astrologers as one of the cursed signs, and that doesn't mean they're doomed. It just means that they often find their job later in life, or they find love later in life. It's just one of those things. Tauruses generally are considered by traditional astrologers one of the blessed signs. Meaning that when it comes to the main things in life, love, money, security, they have it. They find it. It's not difficult for them to find. A Taurus is generally not without it, and a Taurus is generally not without a good job that is fulfilling and blessed. When it doesn't happen, that tells us that something is off, that the natural state is off. You might consider, because you're asking a why question, you might consider a more in-depth astrological reading to see what's going on in your life, what's in the second house, what's in the midheaven, what is going on career-wise, money-wise in your life, and what do you need to be aware of, what's holding you back, what difficulties you may face. Ms. Cat is a brilliant astrologer, so is Deacon Millett. People that you might consider getting an astrological reading from. So I will, I've pulled a few cards here, and I will interpret them for you. What's interesting to me is that I have all wand cards, okay? Now, that doesn't always happen, but that tells me something significant is going on here. And one of the wand cards is reversed. Now, this is unusual. As anyone who's listened to me read is, I don't read reverses. I just come from the school of thought that I don't reverse my cards, so all my cards are in the same direction. When it does show up reversed like this, that means something happened, something interfered in my mix, because I always check my cards before I pull them and I cut the cards. So all my cards are in the same direction. The fact that the Ace of Wands arrived reversed is unusual, and it is significant. So I will actually read it as a reverse, as a sort of break with my traditional, as your first card. And the Ace of Wands reverse tells you that your power is somewhat stripped from you, that your blessing is missing, that your strength is not there, that there is something amiss in your life, and it isn't just natural, but there is something spiritual. This is something, in many ways, a divine lesson of sorts that you are going through. What you define as your blessing and your relationship to that blessing is going to be called into question in your life and what you're going through. The astrological reading becomes very big with this idea of the Ace of Wands reverse. The next card that I have here is the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands is an individual who has come back from a journey. This is a helper, an aid, someone who will help you find what your blessing is. You're going to need someone to assist you as a guide. This is not going to be an older person or some wise mentor, but someone who has a little bit more skill than you, a little bit more power than you, who can help you in this matter. And the final card I have is the King of Wands. That's the Knight reaching his full potential. You are going to find your blessing. It's just going to be a little bit later than you expected, and it's going to be in a field that is different than accounting. It's going to involve helping people in some way, shape, or form, and someone is going to help you get to that point. Someone who has power, someone who has found their own blessing in their life, but who is on some level on par with you. They just have more experience. They're not older. They're not some powerful magician, but rather someone who is in a different field that will guide you to that field. That's what I get here, a call for further reading, a call for reexamination, and a need for a helper who will lead you to a different discipline or field. And I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Michael, who's going to do your next reading, see if she can add any further insight to it.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, Priestess Divine. I have looked into my crystal ball. Okay, not into, onto, because it's pyrite. It's not transparent. Shiny, beautiful, golden pyrite. All right. And I saw several things that surprised me pleasantly. First thing I saw was a lion. And a lion is a sign of greatness. Then I saw a whale, which is another sign of greatness, a sign of authority. Big blessings out there. And the last thing I saw on the crystal ball was a little flying bird, okay? Which, you know, chirpy, happy, like those little Disney birds, okay? And that helps Cinderella clean house. But also, birds fly high and they see far. Okay, so as Ali said, yes, you need help to fly high so you can see far. And I also opened the Bible and came up on Psalm 146, which begins with, lost my place. Psalm 146. No, that's not the right song. It's the psalm. It's the one that says, blessed is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the natural world. I also saw in the pyrite a Unitarian symbol, a chalice that is a communion cup with a flame in it. This is a part of the Unitarian Universalist service every Sunday. I'm not saying become a Unitarian. I'm saying take the most generous interpretation of religion, of scripture, of the use of the leaning on God in magical work, the most generous interpretation that you can find.
Okay. Well, I guess that puts the ball back in my court, and I'm going to add a little ideas here too. When I have read for you in the past and worked with you in the past, there has been this, I could almost could call it a double impulse to have that secure job and to have a business of your own. And I have encouraged you to have a business of your own. And what I would say is I still think that is the way forward, that there is something you are a person of, now these folks don't know you the way I do. You're a person of a great deal of personal charisma and a person who has a unusual abilities, but there is this wavering confidence that, you know, that happens, and I understand it fully well. I know there's only so many days in the, there's only so many hours in the day and only so many days in the week, and to try to develop a spiritually based calling at the same time as holding down a 9-to-5 type job is difficult. It really is difficult. And it may be this will come to you at a later time, as said, because you could not jump from one horse to the other. And that is a difficult situation. So for the root work, I'm going to tell you the same practical things I've told you in the past. Reach out to your community. Talk to people who are doing the kind of work that I know that you are capable of doing and want to do. And both on a level of practical business and on the level of spiritual gifts, you are a blessed person, and I know that to be the case. But there is that courage. And the Ace of Wands reversed, which Ali got, speaks to a failure of courage that you could, there's that, I can throw myself into this. No, I tried it and I got hurt and it didn't work. But I really do feel that there is something going on here that that can be helped. Now, Ali also mentioned, and Miss Michael also kind of pointed in the same direction, a community. And there is a need for you to work within community. Now, you may be a little on the shy side, and you may not be as forthcoming to join groups as some, but the card of the Knight of Wands does indicate, and the King of Wands, that it does indicate that community would be of good use to you. So let's go to what kind of spell work. Well, first of all of those Wands cards definitely would recommend candles. And Miss Michael also saw a flame in a chalice.
Okay.
Well, that would also indicate candles or lamps. And here we were with the show, and I said, we're not going to go immediately to candles. But in your case, the candles do seem to be part of what's going to lead you to this outcome that you want. So burning candles and setting lights for that. And also there was a lion, scryed a lion, and a lion is a fire sign, Leo, again representing, could be a candle. So I would say
I just want to interrupt real quick. Can you hear me? I just started dating this guy, Dr. Leo, and he's very spiritual. He's a very spiritual guy. So maybe he's the person we were speaking about earlier.
Yeah, I think that you want to be with working with somebody who is going to guide you in this way. And I really do think that keeping a light lit, keeping a fire, and also any symbols of the sun, any symbols of the lion would be good for you, also the metal gold. Now, I could tell you, but I already know you already know this stuff, hon. You know, I could say, well, I want you to take this herb and that herb and stuff, but I know you know your business. So we could go with a few of the herbs that are used in that way. For courage, yarrow is yellow and sun-like. And we would also maybe want you to use a little bit of saffron and safflower, calendula, chamomile, all of the yellow and golden flowers, and put them together. You could make a little bit of a potpourri of that. You could also make a little bit of a bath of it. And but I want it to be things that are yellow in tone, and bathe with that and see how that does. Life everlasting also, yellow life everlasting. And I want you to think about those things, even to the point of eating sunflower seeds. Those are the herbs I would recommend for you based on these readings. And I know that you know that you have me standing by you at all times, but the cards didn't say it's going to be some old teacher lady. The card says you're going to find a partner to work with you on a mundane level, perhaps, who is closer to your age, someone who has a little more experience than you. And you might want to get an astrological reading. I kind of understand where that was coming from as well, because this has been going on for a while, and you should have been blessed and been well on your way. But there's something broken, and I have never seen a curse on you in the sense that I have seen people who are, you know, desperately cursed, and nobody here saw it today either, you know.
Yeah.
So I care for you a lot, and we'll get you where you're going. But maybe you need an astrological reading to see if there is something that you were, as he said, as the old Albert King song said, born under a bad sign, and that this will wear off when some retrograde turns direct or when some transits happen. So anybody else want to jump in here with a few more root worker suggestions? We have another minute here.
I've got a couple.
Okay.
I would like to recommend the sweet and simple self-confidence spell to you also. Say, I am all fair, there is no fault in me, while eating something sweet and luxurious, and in your case, yellow. Also, eating sunflower seeds, look for recipes with sunflower seeds if you like to cook. One of my favorite rye breads has sunflower seeds in it. Vegetarian protein, tasty, yummy patties with sunflower seeds in them, and egg, and not much else. Those are really wonderful. But yeah, sunflower seeds.
Okay.
That. Also, when you're choosing magical herbs, choose ones that are protective as well as whatever else you want to do.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do that. And Ms. Kat, thank you. I really appreciate you always. Of course, you know that.
Yes, well, and I love seeing you, and whenever we get together, and I love trying to be of help to you. I really think that there is a future here that we have not yet gotten to, and so, you know, we'll get there. Miss Michael says apricot jam, lemon curd, and lemon drops. She wrote that in the chat room. All right. Well, there's a lot that can be done on a mundane level here, and I love that, Miss Michael. All right. Well, we're going to go to our recorded announcements, and then Papa Newt's going to bring us back, and we're going to have the free spell from Miss Michael.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Kendala's Corner, starring Kendala Kambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Take it away, Miss Michael.
Okay, Papa Newt, thank you for that lovely intro. And this comes from the work of Harry Hyatt. And this is informant number 650, whose name I don't know, and I couldn't find it on Miss Cat's page on the Hyatt informants either. But this is really, really simple, and it's simple to do, but it carries a complex message. This is a fidelity spell. If you discover your man's been cheating on you, you magically and secretly explain to him that the concerns of his home take priority over his base nature and his animal desires. And you do it very simply by taking the dish rag out of your sink, and you can let it dry, because what you're going to do is put it in a box on a high shelf. And if you have, for instance, one of those old tall cabinets to display amusing items in, they used to call it a whatnot, you know, with glass doors. Anyway, your display space in your living room, if it's like a bookcase, something tall, you put that pretty little box with your dish rag in it on top, where it's going to be higher than his head at all times. And it's going to be above him at all times. And he doesn't even have to know it's there. People don't generally look up when they're at home. And so he'll have that hanging over his head, floating over his head, every minute he's in the house, working on his soul. That's it. It's simple, but it means so much.
Wow. So this is to say to him, the simple things of domestic life, the dish rag, that which keeps cleans the plates that you eat with, that simple thing is working on his mind at all times because it's up above his head. And, you know, this is just exemplary of the kind of simple work that people use. The dish rag makes me think of another one because I know another dish rag spell. You take a dish rag, you take a dish rag and you you wash your pussy with a dish rag, and then you put it back, and then you tell your man, could you wash a few dishes? And he has to handle the dish rag that had your pussy juice on it. And then he's going to eat off those dishes, right? That's what we call a self-basting turkey, or he's eating his own coffee, right?
Let's just hope he's not a self-basting jive turkey.
Right. But dish rags do have a lot of, there are a lot of things you can do with a dish rag. I'll tell you another one, too. You can, I've known this one from a man, comes home and he feels unrespected and disrespected in his own home, and he worked hard and he got sweaty. Instead of going into the bathroom and washing up with the washcloth, he uses the dish rag to wash himself and especially get the sweat off his face and the sweat from under his arms, put some water in it, wring it out, and wring some of that water into the food that's on the stove cooking. Presumably, like, you know, if there's a stew on the stove or something. And he put some of his own sweat wrung out from the dish rag into the food, stir it up while the wife's out of the kitchen. She don't see it. And he will be respected in his own home.
He could make sure and wash some of the pans, too.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. There are so many good dish rag spells that you know, to me, that represents something about the home.
There's also quite a bit of a spells that involve hanging over someone's head, right? Because it's not the dish rag is fantastic, but it's also something over their head. I mean, even the kind of old timey sew something in his hat, right, so that he puts it on his head, that you're always on his mind. There's stuff like that for the house as well. One of the kind of the oldest ones that I was taught, and I've only seen this once. I've never seen this anywhere else, and I don't know if it was unique to this person's family. It was far, in my opinion, seemed a little bit more European-esque. I was taught, for example, that a woman who had a man that was running around and wanted to prick his conscience and keep her the house and the home on his mind would prick her foot. It's supposed to be your right heel with a brand new needle, and then you place the needle above the door that you walk into the house. The idea being that every time he left the house, she would be on his mind, and that would prick his conscience. And so you know how doors have that, what is it?
It's called the lintel.
The lintel. For whatever reason, I was about to say mantle. No, the lintel. Yes, the lintel. You place it in the lintel there, and you keep it there. It's an old-timey way of working. And I've only seen this one place before, but it does match up with a lot of this kind of style of hoodoo. And how to keep you on your spouse's mind.
He'll be under her foot too.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Where the blood comes from. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good one. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really really good one. Yeah, I know the thing of idea of putting something up above someone's head has a long worldwide magical strain to it. And the dish rag is more African American. The dish rag, like the broom, represents the female domain, the woman's domain. And this puts me in mind of something I want to mention. I am working on editing a book right now, written by our own dear friend Aura LaForest. And the name of this book is Women's Work. And it is about, uses the word work in two senses of the word, you know, work meaning a job, and a woman's work usually means domestic work, but work also has a meaning in hoodoo, a job of work being a spell that is cast. It's a euphemism for spell casting. And so Aura LaForest book, Women's Work, will be coming out in May, and it's going to have a lot of spells like this, including some with the dish rag and other types of domestic tranquility spells. Let's just put it that way. All right. Well, this has been a great show. A lot of interesting things. Two interesting clients, both of whom had spiritual paths this time. It wasn't the typical love show. It was the typical spiritual show. I love how these things come in clusters. They always do. But this was a spell with two women walking in a spiritual way, each of them on their way to someplace good. And we hope that they both will get there. And talking about the most old-fashioned spells, the things that come out of the home. So I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our final goodbyes, and we're going to come back, and then we're all going to give our own little personal goodbyes. So let's turn it over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us the topic, blockbusting and unblocking obstacles. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And just all of you guys remember, next week, Miss Elvira. And if you subscribe to the Lucky Mojo newsletter, check it out. It's in your email box now. If you didn't get it and you want to get it, go to Facebook or go to Lucky Mojo. Click on the link that you will find to the newsletter and make sure you get it. You'll get some discount coupons and you'll get some amazing information. Oh, my gosh, Papa Newt just posted the link to the archive newsletter. My gosh. All right. Papa Newt, he wins a prize. All right. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.